Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, fixing AWS bills in San Francisco or wherever I happen to find them, and this episode is sponsored by Influx Data. Influx is most well known for InfluxDB, which is a time series database that you use if you need a time series database. Think Amazon TimeStream, except actually available for sale and has paying customers. To check out what they're doing, both with their SaaS offering as well as their on-premise offerings that you can use yourself because they're open source, visit influxdata.com. My thanks to them for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. Now, what happened last week from AWS? Amazon CloudWatch launched cross-account, cross-region dashboards. That's right, you'd think that would have existed long before now, but no. A lot of AWS services work in multiple accounts, or they work in multiple regions, but getting both is challenging. Now, given that dashboards do and continue to cost $3 per month per dashboard, I'm a little cross myself. Amazon Comprehend adds 6 new languages. And that's all it says. It doesn't list which languages. It turns out Arabic and 2 forms of Chinese, representing well over a billion people who can speak those things, for whom Amazon Comprehend now works. You'd think that they would lead with that, but no, they did not. Amazon Elastic File System Infrequent Access now supports a 7-day lifecycle management policy instead of 30 as has been historically used. Now you can drop on a week-to-week basis instead of a month-to-month basis when managing files on your legacy NFS-derived nonsense. Amazon Pinpoint adds Journeys, fully automated customer engagement workflows, which feels okay. That's something a lot of services use. I use that myself for my newsletter with ConvertKit. This is just Amazon's version thereof. There are a few other companies in this space, some of whom are actively terrible, who I used to use but don't anymore. So welcome to the party, Amazon Pinpoint, several years after most other folks got there. Speaking of catching up with folks, Amazon QuickSight goes mobile, launches cross-source, join, and more. So in other words, doing what Tableau already has done for a few years, but with a far more reasonable pricing model. That does become interesting and is probably worth looking into the next time you're negotiating a Tableau contract renewal. Amazon RDS for Oracle now supports Oracle Database 19c. That's right, an expensive thing supports other expensive things which are now newer than the older expensive things. Speaking of expensive things, Amazon Redshift now supports changing tables sort keys dynamically. That's sort of awesome. AWS Artifact is now available in AWS GovCloud. That's good to know, given that working in GovCloud is like digging into the ancient past. For those who are not familiar, Artifact is a list of various compliance-related forms that Amazon has pre-filled out for you, so you can hand them to your various regulators and have to answer fewer questions. AWS CodeBuild adds support for AWS Secrets Manager, which is freaky, because less than one full day beforehand, I tried to use it and it didn't exist and had to use Parameter Store instead. I have to know, AWS, who's tracking my AWS console activity. AWS RoboMaker now supports conditional over-the-air deployment. I don't know what those conditions are, but I have to assume, is the customer continuing to pay for whatever it is you've sold them, or should we stop updating it so it can participate in DDoS attacks with the other things that they have hanging out in their homes? AWS supports automated draining for spot instance nodes on Kubernetes, which is awesome because it's open source and it works with any Kubernetes cluster that runs on AWS. The value here is that now when you get the 2-minute termination warning, it will automatically start transitioning workloads to things that are not going away. Given that Kubernetes came out of Google, this really shows that AWS is challenging Google on its own home turf, handling when things get turned off. EC2 hibernation feature is now available to customers in the Middle East, which is a little ridiculous because the Middle East region's in Bahrain. Bahrain has an arid climate. There's no need for the native fauna to learn to hibernate because food is plentiful year-round in that type of environment. Introducing notifications for AWS Code Commit, AWS Code Build, AWS Code Deploy, and AWS Code Pipeline. this, of course, works over SNS, Simple Notification Service, which is increasingly the glue that ties various AWS services together. Maybe there should be an internal SNS topic that the CloudFormation team could subscribe to so they can stop being surprised when other people release things. Introducing new instance sizes for Amazon EC2 C5D instances. Now you can have small, medium, medium plus plus, extra large small, extra large two, and so on and so forth. It's like t-shirts for an increasingly diverse number of body shapes and sizes. This episode is also sponsored by Manifold. Manifold is an API marketplace. If you have an API first application or SaaS product that you want to get in front of customers in a variety of different marketplaces, consider Manifold. They are everywhere you want to be because that is where your customers are. If you're interested to learn more, be sure to check them out at manifold.co. That's manifold.co. Manage your Amazon API gateway limits with AWS service quotas. Things like that always feel like they're acknowledging a security breach, and it's a disclosure of that breach. We're sad to report that one service team has learned of the existence of another service team here at AWS, and despite our best efforts, managed to integrate their service with them. We apologize unreservedly to our customers and will strive to do better in the future. Network Load Balancer, TLS termination, is now available in AWS GovCloud. Don't worry if you wind up missing a week of this podcast, because anything that's announced in it will apparently be repeated months or years later when it gets re-announced for GovCloud. A new feature enables visibility of employees' AWS certification completions. In case it wasn't already painfully clear that you're just a number to your employer, let AWS assist in pointing that out more directly. PostgreSQL, or PostgreSQL, or Postgres, or Postgre, or that's enough, I'm moving to MySQL. 12.0 is now available in Amazon RDS Database Preview Environment. That's right, just when you thought it was safe to stop learning about databases, here it comes again with another update. One of these days, they're going to have RDS support for the best database of all time, Route 53. You can now use single-click setup to keep AWS Systems Manager agents automatically updated. But I do wonder who had to be talked off of a ledge in order to keep them from naming this feature Systems Manager Agent Manager. There are approximately 26 new AWS heroes this quarter, including the first AWS Data Heroes. For the record, I am not, nor have I ever been, a community hero. I'm instead holding out to be the first AWS community villain, provided Larry Ellison doesn't beat me to it. In news near and dear to my heart, AWS announced savings plans for AWS compute services. They're like RIs, only more flexible and less crappy. You just commit to a baseline level of spend every hour, and you're charged that for any use that you have. Anything above that watermark, you're charged at standard on-demand rates. It works with Fargate. It doesn't tie itself to region or instance sizes, though, of course, there's a slightly better discount version that does, that looks like standard RIs with slightly more flexibility. The AWS security blog has a fascinating profile on Maritza Mills, which I hope I'm pronouncing correctly, who's a senior product manager in perimeter protection. I assume they mean perimeter protection as far as making sure that anti-DDoS services work, that people aren't able to subvert the AWS network, and not physical perimeter protection, because if so, I'm sorry, she has failed to successfully keep me out of the AWS campus on multiple occasions. Post-quantum TLS, now supported in AWS KMS. That's right, now that Quantum Ledger Database has shipped, they can get back to working on TLS, which is the most charitable joke I have, because otherwise this seems so far forward against theoretical attacks that don't exist in the real world that I do understand that they want to be prepared for that eventuality, but this does feel a little bit like scaremongering. If you want to challenge that viewpoint, find me on Twitter at QuinnyPig. That's QUINNY Pig. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn. You can find me on Twitter, as just mentioned, or on the web at lastweekinaws.com. Reinvent draws ever nearer, and I'll be talking to you more and more about it as that show gets closer. Until then, remember, the cloud is not billing you for what you use, but for what you forget to turn off.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.